May the Lord help us to commence our worship with hymn 1107. When some sweet promise warms our heart and cheers us under every care, it is the Spirit's gracious part to take that word and fix it there. Hymn 1107.
From the most holy word of God, firstly, Psalm 46. Psalm 46, and then we'll turn to Isaiah's prophecy in the 25th chapter. Firstly, Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. And Isaiah's prophecy, chapter 25. Isaiah's prophecy, chapter 25. O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels are of old are faithfulness and truth. For thou hast made of a city an heap, of a defence city a ruin, a palace of strangers to be no city, it shall never be built. Therefore shall the strong people glorify thee, the city of the terrible nations shall fear thee. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against a wall. Thou shalt bring down the noise of strangers, as the heat in a dry place, even the heat with the shadow of a cloud. The branch of the terrible ones shall be brought low. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth. For the Lord hath spoken it, and it shall be said in that day, Lo, this is our God, we have waited for him, he will save us. This is the Lord, we have waited for him, we will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. For in this mountain shall the hand of the Lord rest, and Moab shall be trodden down under him, even as straw is trodden down for the dunghill. And he shall spread forth his hands in the midst of them, and he that swimmeth spreadeth forth his hands to swim. And he shall bring down their pride together with the spoils of their hands, and the fortress of the high fort of thy walls shall he bring down, lay low, and bring to the ground, even to the dust. May the Lord be pleased to bless to us the reading of those portions of his holy word. Grant all needed help now in prayer. O most merciful, ever gracious, and almighty Lord God, once again thou hast spared our unworthy lives, lengthened out our time here upon the earth, to enter once again into thy courts, thy earthly courts here. Oh, what a mercy indeed. What a mercy indeed. still upon praying ground. Ah, the day of grace has not ended, and the door of mercy to the poor sinner. Ah, yes, the door of mercy still stands open to the poor and the needy that knock by the way. Oh, the most foul, the most, the most deep dyed, the most black and unworthy, a welcome here, are they not? For the foulest sinner, as the hymn writer put it, the foulest sinner out of hell, that lives to feel his need, is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. But all that poor sinner, ah, yes, can he not venture? And as the Spirit enables him to plead for Jesus' sake, pleading that name which is above every name. Oh, shall he not prove that one to be that man as his hiding place? One that has accomplished all in their room, place, and stand. Oh, that place of safety, that place, that sure rock, that high tower. Ah, yes. Oh, what a mercy when a poor sinner is brought there and is enabled by faith. Yes, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. And thou wilt cause them to approach unto thee. The Spirit will enable them. The Spirit will enable them against all opposition, enable them against all the taunts of the adversary. They will venture to plead that worthy name, the name of one, that name which is above every name. Ah, a precious Christ, a risen Saviour, an ascended Saviour. Oh, may it please thee then, even this evening hour, some poor trembling sinner is enabled by faith to venture on thee and to venture wholly, to let no other trust intrude. Or brought away from everything of self. Ah, yes, they prove like some of us have had to prove. Ah, the more I strove against sin's power, I sinned and stumbled, but the more. Till late I heard my Saviour say, come hither, soul, I am the way. Oh, is it not like this also? Till at last, to him we cry. Tried every other means. Ah, yes, tried the arm of flesh. Oh, we find, and did we not find some of us, and it was so. We patched up, and the rents grew worse. We daubed once again with that whitewash, and the stain came through. Oh, we gained nothing. And like that dear woman that had that issue, she spent all that she had of many physicians and rather grew worse. Ah, yes, and then she had to go, did she not, unto the greatest of physicians that knew her malady. Ah, yes, that malady. Sin, ah, that which was coursing through her veins, coursing through them right from the time she was quickened. Ah, yes, was that conceived in her, she was conceived in her mother's womb. There was that right from the beginning. And so we, we plead then that we might each be found amongst those that, like that woman, yes, and shall it not be so? A man still thinks he can do this and do that until we're brought to that extremity. She is brought to an extremity. But oh, when she is brought there, that venturing by faith, there was at a, granted unto her that perfect healing. That perfect healing. And so we plead then, do hear the cries of those that groan before thee. They groan, groan being burdened. Or do yet give that command loose, him and loose her and let them go. They might be brought yet into the liberty of the gospel. There might be yet those also wrought upon to tell out to sinners round what a dear Saviour they have found, and point to thy redeeming blood and say, behold the way to God. As they prove that there is no other way, Christ is the door into the sheepfold. All that cometh up any other way about thieves and robbers. Do remember each one then as they've gathered this night. Thou knowest all that concerns them in the way. Thou knowest the individual cares. And O Lord, those that have waited daily at thy gates, at the post of thy doors. Like that one at Bethesda's pool, they feel the years slip by. They feel the years slip by. And they feel they're not saved. But they long to lay hold upon thee. They long to hear their title clear to mansions in the sky. They long for thee to say, that thou hast pardoned all their iniquities, that they're cast into the depths of the sea to be seen no more. They long for that application of thy precious blood. Oh, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And they are brought to see the worth of it, the worth of it, the efficacy of it, and how they long to see by faith that sprinkled upon the doorposts and the lintels of their heart. So we plead then, do yet grant this or that one their desires. And if there are those that are unconcerned, such were some of us, unconcerned, unmoved, satisfied with just going to and fro. Or do yet bring them to that time of concern, bring them to that time of want, of desperate need. Do yet bore their ear to the doorpost, that they may come up, as often as the doors are open, longing to hear what the Lord might speak. They long for thee to say unto them, I am thy salvation. So remember each and every one, and especially we think once again of the dear young friends, from the children to those who are growing up and going on into life. Oh, do we them to call upon thee in their times of their childhood and youth. Oh, and them to call upon thee in their times of trouble. And no doubt, certainly, they know what, in their measure, know what their troubles are. Each one has their troubles, do they not? But oh, to enable to cast their burden upon thee. May they be able to lay the matter at thy feet. Or may they seek counsel of thee. Perhaps they want guidance in the way, to be directed in their steps. Oh, we plead that they might seek that counsel. Ah, yes, art thou not their greatest of counsellors? Wisdom indeed. No wisdom like thine. And so do enable them to look to thee, to cast all their cares upon thee. Once again, remember each in the midst of life, and whether it is the busy housewives and mothers in the homes, or those in their workplaces, in all that is that pertains to their path in this vale of tears. And, O Lord, oftentimes we find mountains of the way, distressing circumstances, and certainly some of us, and we have to say oneself, we wonder where the scene will end even yet. But, O Lord, have we not proved thou art our stay, thou art our sure foundation, thou hast been that one that loveth at all times a brother born for adversity. And so do we know us to look to thee and to look to thee again and again. Yes, man is born unto trouble, we read in thy word, as the sparks fly upward. And certainly it seems so. Ah, yes, a little respite, And then fresh troubles come, fresh need. And we find, yes, again and again, we're full of fears and unbelief. And in the midst of that unbelief, on the one hand, we know there is that one that is able to do for us more than we can ask or even think. And yet, on the other hand, doubting. Doubting. Oh, ye of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? It reminds us of that time, those many years ago, when we found that loving rebuke spoken unto us by thee, when thou didst work that wonder for us, even in that pathway of providence, in that place of work, when it seemed that nothing could be done, it was impossible. But all we see that are, do we not? All things are possible with thee. Nothing is too hard for thee. But all that particular day, doubting, beginning to doubt. And yet thou didst hear prayer as we had to bow down, enter into the closet even in that busy place, and we found this a quiet spot, and we poured our heart out before the Lord. The Lord heard and answered and delivered. Oh, when even then a little measure of doubt, but oh, that loving rebuke. O ye of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? But all that is our nature, is it not? It is something which besets us, doubts and fears. Why those fears, do we not read in that hymn? Why those fears? Behold, 'tis Jesus holds the helm and guides the ship. But oh, how suddenly we lose sight of thee. Like those dear disciples, yes, they lost sight of one in his deity. Yes, one verily God, verily man, in their midst, but asleep in the hinder part of the ship. And they thought that they were going to sink. Carest thou not that we perish? Ah, how solemn indeed, but we can find the same language rise in our own hearts. Carest thou not that we perish? But oh, what a mercy, that one that hears and answers prayer, takes even our poor petitions, the worst of them, and pleads them before his Father's throne. Ah, yes, and there is that, we find, do we not, those answers of peace, and not of evil, to give an expected end. What a mercy indeed, that one that knows what a feeble frame we have, how prone to doubting and fearing. Ah, that one that truly intercedes for his people with those groanings which cannot be uttered. And so may it please him, help each one in the midst of life, amidst all the burdens, all the dark places. We read in thy word, concerning those that walk in darkness and have no light, they walk in they that feared the Lord. They obey the voice of his servants. They walk in darkness and have no light. Oh, that word there, let him trust in the Lord and stay upon his God. Oh, grant that enabling to some poor trembling one, perhaps this night. They've got something before them in the coming days. Something which seems so mountainous. Such an impossibility to them. Ah, let him trust in the Lord. Even in that place of darkness, where unbelief seems to be so strong. Ah, let him trust in the Lord and stay upon his God. Oh, what a mercy then. So do yet appear, and do yet strengthen, perhaps one even this night, strengthen their weak hands, and confirm their feeble knees. Oh, we often think, and have done of recent days, that in the days of Elijah, when there was no rain, And thou didst promise that the rain would come again after those 3 years. And oh, yes, there was that sound of the abundance of rain. And Elijah, did he not bow down his face to the earth? No doubt in that way of supplicating Almighty God, in that place of humility, humbling himself under thy mighty hand. And he sent his servant, did he not, to go out to look toward the sea. Six times, nothing. The report came back, there is nothing. Go again 7 times. What a mercy. But then, even then, the 7th time, much room for unbelief there, a doubting heart, a cloud just the size of a man's hand. But oh, what a mercy if we should see that cloud the size of a man's hand. We might have faith even there to verily believe that that time, yes, like it was, there truly was the sound of it and then that appearance of it, an abundance. Yes, go again 7 times. And perhaps it may be more times than that, but go again and again. And may there be, may it please, he granted that one that faith to go again amidst all the taunts of the adversary, amidst all their unbelief. Go again. Go again. And so that 7th time, yes, perhaps in that way, cloud the size of man's hand. And naturally may look at that and think, well, nothing can come of a cloud that size. But oh, what a mercy. Yes, there was that abundance of rain. And so we would then plead that thou wouldest undertake for each one in all their difficulties, in all their trials, enable them to go again and again. And may they yet see in due time that which gives them little hope, a hope in thy mercy. A hope that thou wouldst yet do that for them which seems so impossible. We read, do we not, in those days there was no rain and neither was there any dew. Dried up completely, and sometimes we feel like that in our own souls. Troubles come, trials come. Yes, we feel barren, dried up. But oh, what a mercy. What a mercy. Seed time and harvest, summer and winter, day and night, and cold and heat shall not cease whilst the earth remaineth. And so it will be in the pathway of a child of God, approving of those seasons. Yes, times of heat and barrenness and appear to be as dried up and cannot come forth. But all those times also, when that song of praise is brought out, rung out, yes, it comes forth, it has to come forth. A song of praise unto thee. Come him like the psalmist in Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Oh, may such a one yet even come there, whereby they can so sing with the psalmist. Lord, remember also those in the even time of life, and they feel the mud-walled cottage shake, and we think of one another throughout the hills of Zion. Lord, thou hast spared some those many years, and they truly feel the weakness of body and mind and spirit. They're weary with the journey, but oh, may they feel those everlasting arms underneath them. Those everlasting arms that have brought them hitherto. And may it please thee, bring to their remembrance all the words which thou hast spoken unto them and all the way which thou hast led them these years in their pathway here below. And once again, remember afflicted ones. We think of one, especially amongst them here, but others also. The deep paths of affliction. Lord, grant that abundance of thy grace, sustaining grace, upholding grace. comfort their hearts, and we plead that thou wouldst bless all the means used for their good, for their comfort. But oh, may they prove the comforter. May they prove that one that truly has said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Make their bed for them. Make their bed for them. Oh, may they see that one. Yes, that one that truly loveth at all times. That brother born for adversity. How that precious truth has been a blessing unto this poor sinner. Ah, there is a man. Oh, that man. Yes, one verily God, verily man, that can compassionate, does compassionate our case, knows what sore temptations mean, for he has felt the same, but walked that lowly path, walked through the varied trials and tribulations we read, do we not? Foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Oh, that one that does comfort his people, for the word declares in all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. So we plead to remember those in their afflictions, and grant them that grace sufficient moment by moment, minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day. And those that look on, those that care for them, loved ones, they need that help also. They need that support. May it please you then. May they prove the God of Jeshurun, who writeth on the heaven in their help and in his excellency upon the sky. And they may prove each one of them those everlasting arms. Ah, that good shepherd and bishop of their souls that has borne them all the days of old. Ah, that has said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so we plead also for thy true church. Ah, what a dark and evil day in which we live. What declensions, what turnings aside, what desolations, Lord, what breaches. Oh, we wonder where the scene will end. But, oh Lord, we plead that thou wouldest yet, if it could please thee, arise for our help. Arise for our help. Build up those waste places, heal the breaches, and restore where restoration is needed. Lord, we plead, no heart is too hard for thee to turn, and no case is too difficult, and thou canst yet revive us in our low place. Ah, oh, yes, revive thy work in the midst of our years, and the midst of our years make known. In wrath, remember mercy. But oh, how we need that reviving. We need thee to revive us. So we plead, strengthen those things which remain, those things which are ready to die. Oh, may we yet see better days. May we yet see those, if it could please thee, chapels built. Chapels built. Yes, and even in our day, awaken many sinners round to come and fill the places. Awaken this one and that one out of that sleep of death. Oh, we plead that they might be brought in, smiting upon their breasts, crying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the prodigals, thou knowest where they are even this night. Gone away from thee as far as sheep can run, no doubt that's how they feel. And that's what they want. But if there's our purpose of grace toward them, whatever they want, ah, what a mercy, thou wilt overrule it and bring them back. Thou wilt bring them to that time of want. Ah, I will work. Oh, how we've often thought upon those words, and what a mercy it is. It's not left to the man or the woman or the child. It's I will work. And who shall let it? None can stay his hand or say, what doest thou? So do work in the hearts, even of those round about here, but also the prodigals. Ah, Bring them to that time when they would fain eat the husks that the swine would eat. Oh, they find there's an aching void that the world cannot fill. And they are found once again in thy courts. Ah, yes, with a living desire. Give me Christ, or else I die. Do remember once again this guilty land and nation. How vile we are. Oh, what wickedness we read of. A wickedness we've even witnessed. A few years ago would not have been seen, but all now. How vile and wicked we are. We truly have turned thee the back and not the face. We do sin against light and knowledge. And how solemn is that? Evil is called good and good is called evil. Oh, we plead that thou wouldest yet turn us once again as a nation, and we shall be turned. Lord, show our leaders what they ought to do. Ah, they say what they'll do and what they won't do. But show them what they ought to do. And if it could please, it might be those raised up that shall yet repeal those laws which are so contrary to thy word and thy laws. In fact, they're an abomination in thy sight. But, O Lord, we plead that thou wouldest yet have mercy upon us, and may we ever be found amongst that remnant that sigh and cry unto thee daily for the abominations done in the land. For we verily believe it is because of that remnant that thou hast stayed thy hand. For we deserve to be destroyed like those cities of the plain. Such is the wickedness that is found in our midst. But thou hast heard the cries of the remnant. Oh, leave us not to just settle upon our lees. Leave us not to just say, well, what will be, we cannot do anything about it. But oh, may we plead and ever cry unto Almighty God. That one that is able, yes, to turn the heart of man. That one that can frustrate the evil designs of men. And so we plead, may we yet see in our day that it might be once again said of us, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach. And what a reproach we are. Oh, how solemn it is. So we plead then. Do yet stay thy hand, and in wrath remember mercy. We thank thee there's been a measure of a staying of thy hand as regards that virus. Oh, how solemn when we hear our politicians, or we read and hear of them, what they say. So arrogant it is down to man and a man alone. But oh, dost thou not give men wisdom to find out this and find out that? What a mercy indeed. Ah, what a mercy indeed. And as thou hast given men wisdom, we thank thee for it. But oh Lord, do yet, if it could please thee, do yet stay thy hand and in wrath remember mercy. But oh, we thank thee that we can still gather and have been able to gather. We thank thee that if there is those further loosening of those things which we've had to abide by, we thank thee for that in due time, if it comes to pass. But, O Lord, we thank thee that we can gather. Maybe a few restrictions upon us. But, oh, what a mercy indeed. Ah, when we've seen those dens of iniquity that have been closed, and thou hast preserved unto us that we can gather. We can gather and have been able to gather, albeit those few things which we had to abide by. And oh, we thank thee for these mercies and favours. But oh Lord, we plead that it might yet be that we can return to that way and manner which we believe to be right. And we plead that it might yet be so. But oh, we thank thee that thou hast maintained it to us amidst all, yes, amidst all that would have brought it all to a close, the places have been shut. And And so we would now desire to praise thee. And once again, for our personal mercies and favours, both collectively as churches and people, but also in our individual paths. Our individual paths, can we not say we've lacked nothing? Ah, we've lacked nothing. Great has been thy faithfulness, and thy mercies have been new every morning. So it allows us to praise as we ought. Or we can soon murmur and complain with blessings in our hand. We are out to this poor sinner, we find it so murmuring within. Yet we see the good hand of our God. And can we not say, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. And he who hath helped us hitherto will help us all our journey through. And give us daily cause to raise new Ebenezers to thy praise. Ah, may it please that each one, yes, and those younger in years, what mean ye by these stones? That they might likewise prove the loving kindness of the Lord from generation to generation. What mean ye by these stones? They're stones of help. Oh, cannot some of us, we can see those Ebenezer stones. May they likewise, as their pathway opens up and the journey in this waste howling wilderness, yes, a journey in it, but also amongst all the tremblings and all the difficulties, stones of help. Now do help us, Lord, we plead this evening. Thou knowest how this one feels, wearied. Ah, yes, we get wearied in mind and body, do we not? And, O Lord, we plead for that help from above. Grant their door of utterance. Grant mouth matter and wisdom. And those that take their places at the desk, Lord, remember them in this. It is a burden, is it not? A burden and exercise. Finding the hymns. Ah, yes, and what a mercy. When they prove also, yes, perhaps a hymn doesn't always go with the subject. Have we not proved that also in our own paths? The line of a hymn has broken us down. Ah, sometimes it's not been the text, but it has been the language of the experimental language of the hymn writer has come right where we were, brought us to weep before the Lord in his house. Oh, may it please thee, grant them those encouragements that they labour not in vain, nor spend their strength for naught. So we would now seek thy help. Grant that there might be a portion for seven and a portion for eight, and send none empty away, we plead. We plead all these things, pleading for the pardon of every sin, and all we've asked amiss, we plead for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 122, and we'll commence to sing at verse. We'll commence to sing from the heart at verse 8. Hymn 122, verse 8. Jesus, my great high priest, offered his blood and died. My guilty conscience seeks no sacrifice beside. His powerful blood did once atone, and now it pleads before the throne. Hymn 122, verse 8.
Thank you.
Once again, seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, we turn to the chapter and verse we tried to speak from this morning, Isaiah's prophecy, chapter 32, and the second verse. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Isaiah chapter 32 and that second verse. A man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And as we read the title over this hymn we've just had, The Offices of Christ. The Offices of Christ. And it is through that pathway here below, from that time of quickening to the end of the days, each one in their measure shall prove. That as that hymn, and going back even over the verses which were not included. What a mercy indeed if we each prove the glorious offices of Christ. As this one, yes, and especially as we've had those verses, our advocate, our high priest, our conqueror, our captain, and that one, yes, that conquered death, hell and the grave, gained the victory. But it is the poor sinner that will prove it. And yes, as we close this morning, they will be brought to see with the eye of faith. For we walk by faith and not by sight. They shall be brought to see. The eyes of them that see shall not be dim. And the ears of them that hear shall hearken, and the heart of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerers shall be ready to speak plainly. We read, and I turned a little earlier, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach. Is it not in Psalm 60, 65 or 60? 6, I believe it is. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. When that one is brought out of nature's darkness, brought, yes, quickened by the Spirit, and the breathings, they prove those breathings, breathe that breath of life into them. They prove that one that waits to be gracious, and the voice of thy cry will answer thee. That one, yes, that has ascended on high, having accomplished all, in their room, place, and stead. Accomplished all in their room, place, and stead. Truly waits to be gracious, and the voice of thy cry will answer thee. And oh, when we think upon that one that so is there, of a truth it is so. That lowly path which he walked here below, he was a man of sorrows, we read in Isaiah. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we read, do we not? I know we quoted in prayer, but it's been a precious word unto this poor one. That one that loveth at all times, a brother. Born for adversity. But that one, yes, that knows your frame. Yes, you turn to that Psalm 103 and what it speaks of there. And do you find it so? You're described as amongst those there. That one with a frame, a poor, feeble frame. The Lord knoweth our frame. And remembereth that we are dust. Well, dust doesn't have much substance. Well, it doesn't have any substance, does it, to hold it together? Dust, when it is as dust, is blown this way and that way. He knoweth, yes, one verily God, verily man, made like unto his brethren. He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are but dust. But that psalm goes on. For the wind passeth over it. As for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of this one, this glorious high priest, this advocate, this surety, this conqueror, this captain, this shepherd. Yes, go back through that hymn, back to the beginning. The counselor, the prophet of God, the redeemer. This one, his mercy, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, to those that remember his commandments to do them. Ah, yes, not those that are wayward and rebellious, and ah, yes, it is those that are brought, yes, by the Spirit to walk in his ways. They can't do those things they once did. It's not like some. They think they can carry on the same. They can carry on the same. But those that are brought, yes, into that tender fear of the Lord, that filial fear, they walk in his ways. They walk in that narrow way which leadeth unto life. They shall prove there is this one then. There is this one that they shall have to go to again and again. Blessed is a man whom thou choosest. And perhaps you've proved it in the past year, and this year thus far. There's been that that's come to pass. Then they cried unto the Lord. I know we often quote that psalm, but then they cried unto the Lord, and it speaks again and again in that psalm. Then they cried unto the Lord. We don't read any incident there where the Lord did not hear. The Lord did not answer or deliver. But blessed be God, he brought them to that desired haven, but that pathway of the child of God. Through this veil of tears, and you'll prove like this poor one proves. And no doubt there are those here that are likewise proving it is a veil of tears. But though a veil of tears, there is this one to whom we can go. Yes, and as the hymn writer put, I turned to it a little earlier, I think it's 136, is it? Is it 130? Hymn 136. Dear refuge of my weary soul. The weary. And how often we feel wearied with the journey. Wearied in those tribulations. Wearied in those afflictions. Wearied in those difficulties. Wearied with those mountains. Wearied with the dark places. Wearied with those things which are hard to be understood. Wearied with that, yes, and in the midst of it all, wearied with the burden of our sins. Especially when troubles come, we can't see a title clear to mansions in the skies. So when troubles come, there seems to be a double burden. A double burden. Dear refuge of my weary soul. Ah, no doubt Anne Steele must have known something of it, to be able to pen such language. Dear refuge of my weary soul, that's that one needing this advocate, needing this high priest, needing this surety, needing this captain, needing this conqueror. Dear refuge of my weary soul, on thee when sorrows rise, on thee when waves of trouble roll, my fainting hope relies. Ah, yes. We have experimental language in our hymn book. I don't know whether anyone else is perhaps have seen some of those of other places. It is vain repetition that seems no more than chanting, no more than just light language. But all the language in our hymn book is experimental. Dear refuge of my weary soul, wearied with the journey, wearied with the way, full of difficulties. Ah, yes, you find, do you not? All these things are against you. I know, often quote Jacob, where trust, we've proved a little of Jacob's path. Things which are hard to be understood, and we wonder where the scene will end. We have to say, do we not, sometimes, all these things are against me. All these things are against me. Dear refuge of my weary soul. Ah, refuge of my weary soul. And as we had that, we read that Psalm 46. And is it not a precious psalm to one or another? To the weary, the tempted, the burdened, those in their dark places where they find, yes, often like the psalmist declared, the earth seems to be removed. Even the mountains are carried into the midst of the sea. The waters thereof roar and be troubled. The mountains shake with the swelling thereof. But ah, blessed be God, there is a river. There is a river. Shall make glad the city of God. Does it not come back to the, that verse in the chapter we've taken for our text, rivers of water. Yes, tempests, storms, trying circumstances. But all the rivers of water. Ah, when the poor sinner has to go to this one, his surety, his advocate. Yes, one that is able to do for him more than he can ask or even think. And he's bowed down, goes on his way, often groaning, being burdened. Often know what it is to feel like that woman. She is bowed down with that spirit of infirmity. She had no power to lift herself up. Ah, perhaps one even this evening, and their pathways like that. Bowed down. Bowed together she was. She had no power to lift herself up. But the Lord was able to do that for her, which she couldn't do for herself. Dear refuge of my weary soul, on thee when sorrows rise, on thee when waves of trouble roll, my fainting hope relies, fainting hope. Yes, ready to faint in the way, weary with the journey. Ah, when you find your unbelief rises up, you'll be ready to faint in the way. That's how you feel. But oh, what a mercy, that fainting hope. That little hope, that grain of living faith, though damped, it can never die. There is a river, yes, amidst all the swelling thereof, there is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. Ah, one verily God, verily man, brings us to that promise, does it not? The Lord spake it, did he not? I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And ah, yes, and like we read in Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, for he hath said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. That one that is not afar off, but the Lord is at hand. Yes, it may be a day of darkness, maybe a day of deep troubles and trials, but the Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand, and still went on in that hymn, did she not? But oh, when gloomy doubts prevail, I fear to call thee mine. The springs of comfort seem to fail, and all my hopes decline. Yet, gracious God, where shall I flee? Thou art my only trust, and still my soul would cleave to thee. Though prostrate in the dust, and coming back to that word we quoted earlier, blessed is the man whom thou choosest, and causest approach unto thee. Hast thou not bid me seek thy face? That one, as we said, loveth at all times a brother born for adversity. That one that indicts, yes, that prayer in the heart. Gives that new sharp threshing instrument having teeth. It knows that poor one in the midst of his destitution, his weakness. To go again, as we said in prayer, go again seven times. Seven times, go as many times, yes, and the Spirit will enable. Hast thou not bid me seek thy face? And shall I seek in vain? And can the ear of sovereign grace be deaf when I complain? And still must approve this. No, still the ear of sovereign grace attends the mourner's prayer. Oh, may I ever find access to breathe my sorrows there. Ah, to breathe those sorrows there. Your sorrows, my sorrows. Prove that one to be your refuge, your hiding place, this man. Ah, this man, the God man. So he said, yes, ascended on high. The hymn closes, does it not? Thy mercy seat is open still. Here let my soul retreat, with humble hope attend thy will, and wait beneath thy feet. That waiting upon God, that waiting upon this one. Ah, that waiting, yes. That advocate, perhaps you come to that point, well, don't know how to speak anymore. But this one, that knows, as we come back to that word, knows your frame. Remembers that you are dust. We can't always speak at times, the Lord, yes, he takes up your case. When we think of an advocate in a court of law, and that is their training, is it not? To make the best of your position, as it were, in the best way of wording it, before the judge and the court. This glorious high priest, your advocate. Your advocate, your counsellor, your captain, your conqueror. That one has loved you from all eternity. I have loved with an everlasting love, therefore loving comes to draw thee. That love will not withdraw from you. Takes up your case. Ah, yes, when we have loved ones, what a mercy. Others might be discouraged. Yes, those in a lot of family or in that way of loved ones, they might be discouraged with such a situation someone else might be in. But loved ones. When loved ones, yes, they don't give up. This one, a brother born for adversity. Born for adversity. Let us therefore come boldly, again and again. Even those seven times. Yes, the heathen may rage, the kingdoms will move. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The God of Jacob is our refuge. But all that chapter we read tonight in Isaiah. Can we not say, even looking back some of us, thou hast been, yes, as we said a little earlier, a man is born unto troubles, the sparks fly upward. It's not long before another trouble comes. As a hymn writer put it, I can't remember how the words go, but another doth him seize. Another doth him seize. I know I often quote David, but old David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, he knew what troubles were. He knew what enemies were. He knew what difficulties were. We know also the Lord by the Spirit encouraged him. The Spirit being his remembrance. What a mercy. The Spirit is your remembrance of mine. This one that knows your frame. This man, this God man knows your frame and brings to your remembrance all the words that he has spoken unto you, all the promises, past blessings and past favours. And that poor sinner is encouraged to go again. Like it was with David when Ziklag was burned with fire. He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He didn't encourage himself in the strength of his own arm. He didn't encourage himself in anyone but. Encourage himself in the Lord his God. That was the Spirit. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. For thou hast been. It speaks in that past tense, does it not? Thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat when the blast of the terrible ones is a storm against the wall. Thou hast been. Well, that chapter in Isaiah, does it not speak in this way? And perhaps it is one that, yes, even here, for it's in this chapter it speaks of one, does it not, as if, yes, brought down to the end of their days. Ah, the swellings of Jordan, that one last great battle which we shall each have to endure. Oh, what a mercy if we can look back over our little lives when it comes that time. Oh, thou hast been. Thou hast been a strength to this poor one in that individual way. Thou hast been a strength to this needy one in my distress. Thou hast been a refuge to me in those storms. Storms in the past. Those many storms of life. Thou hast been a shadow from the heat, many a time when there was a storm against the wall, like the terrible ones, a storm against the wall. And have you not proved that also, some of us? That storm against the wall, that place of safety, that place of shelter. Ah, yes, the cleft of the rock. And then it speaks like this, he will swallow up death. That one, because he's conquered death, hell and the grave, gained the victory. He will swallow up death in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces and rebuke the people and the rebuke of his people. And he shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. And oh, when we think of that one, I think is it not in Paul's epistle to the Corinthians? Paul's epistle to the Corinthians, is it in the first book and the chapter 1? But all what we read, I might not be able to lay my eyes upon it, but death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death swallowed up in victory. Oh, here it is. What a mercy indeed. What a mercy indeed when we prove, at the end of our days, the end of our days, and that day must come, it shall come, that hiding place from the wind, a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. When you see that one that so wrought everything, the grave could not hold him. We read at the end of that 15th chapter in Paul's epistle to the Corinthians, the first epistle. O death. Well, we go back to the 54th verse, the 52nd verse. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. Through who? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, that last great battle, that last great battle, to see there that one that has done all. Yes, satisfy the law in every jot and tittle, but the grave could not hold him. Yes, he will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. But this man, this man, for thou hast been. Oh, what a mercy then if we can, none of us know the end of our day. How short or long they may be. But oh, when come back to my late dear mother, she proved in her day, yes, in that day and hour, this man that had swallowed up death in, death in victory. The Lord God. And it brings to mind that hymn which she was so favoured with, even in those last moments of her life. May we each likewise prove it. Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly, while the raging billows roll, while the tempest still is high. Hide me, O my Saviour, hide, till the storm of life is past. Safe into the haven guide. Oh, receive my soul at last, this man. Other refuge have I none. Hangs my helpless soul on thee. Leave me not alone. Still support and comfort me. All my trust, it'll have to be that poor sinner. Nothing less than all my trust, my dear old mother, was brought to that. All my trust on thee is stayed. All my help from thee I bring. Cover my defenceless head with the shadow of thy wing. Thou, O Christ, art all I want. All in thee I find. Raise the fallen, cheer the faint. Heal the sick and lead the blind. Just and holy is thy name. I am all unrighteousness. Vile and full of sin I am. Thou art full of truth and grace. Plenteous grace. Yes, my mother, when she was brought down to the end of her days, she said, she had to repeat how vile she was. What a sinner she was. She walked many sorrows here below. They knew what many privations were, many times in hospital for lengths of time. But oh, trust, she proved this, she did. Plenteous grace with thee is found, grace to pardon all my sin. Let the healing streams abound, make and keep me pure within. Thou of life the fountain art, freely let me take of thee. Spring thou up within my heart, rise to all eternity. But oh, that was her refuge. And she proved that refuge in those dying hours. Ah, yes, she proved it so. death swallowed up in victory. Ah, the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. Ah, what a mercy indeed. This man, a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land, but the time has gone. But oh, that river, whereof shall make glad the city of God. Ah, may you and I prove it down to the end of our days. Blessed be God. It is from one generation it shall be so. May you younger ones prove it. As I said, my dear old mother, in her 95th year, and she just had her 95th birthday. But oh, she knew what it was to be found, ah, yes, and having a need of a hiding place. The tempest, that one last great storm that came up against her. But she found one that didn't forsake her. And she found those rivers of water in a dry place, even there. Ah, safety is of the Lord. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Hadley will preach on Tuesday evening. There will be a prayer meeting for the members on Friday evening at 8 o'clock. And Mr. Warboys is expected to preach next Lord's Day and address the Sunday school in the afternoon. Our closing hymn is 273. Pensive, doubting, fearful heart, hear what Christ the Saviour says. Every word should joy impart, change thy mourning into praise. Yes, he speaks and speaks to thee. May he help thee to believe. Then thou presently wilt see thou hast little cause to grieve. Hymn 273.
each prove down to the end of our days that thou truly art our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Ah, one verily God, verily man, one that truly loveth at all times, one that is our brother born for adversity, one that knows our frame and remembers that we are but dust. Ah, that good shepherd that cares much for his sheep, that good shepherd and bishop of our souls that has borne us all the days of old, may we prove it down to the end. And shall we not prove it? For thy word does declare, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And thou hast said, I'll not leave you comfortless, I'll come to you. And ah, that blessed promise, in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I'd have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. When I come again, I shall receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Oh, that one. Ah, that truly cares much for his sheep and will gather them in, gather them home to glory. Ah, the one that truly has conquered death, hell and the grave, gained the victory. Oh, do then remember us each. Remember us each now as we go our separate ways. Commit each into thy kind care and keeping. And whether we journey near or far, and dear one, oneself, we journey home, may be found shouting under the shadow of the Almighty, under thy watchful care. Ah, this man is a hiding place under the shadow of thy wing. And so we would now fall into thy hands, or we would seek for the pardon of anything thou hast heard and seen amiss. Cover with the mantle of thy forgiving love, and truly bless that which is of thee. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.